Chapter 17. Linden's gaze snapped up to the top of the chasm.
Where? How do you know? When will they get here?
She spun her finger in a circle.
I wrapped this place tight in formation banners. It's not a powerful boundary. It doesn't take much energy, but I'll sense anyone who steps across. It's about half a mile out in every direction.
The bigger the boundary, the more complex the formation and the more mudra it took to operate. An alarm boundary would be among the simplest and easiest types, but he still wouldn't be able to activate one a mile across. He scanned the entire chasm quickly, trying to take stock of their options.
You hid from me earlier, so you have to have a hiding place here somewhere. We can wait this out.
She pointed to the back of the chasm, where she'd fought off the irons in his vision.
Crack is right there, presuming you can see it, and it leads to a shallow cave. It's tighter than the skin on a lizard, so you probably won't fit. Found it during that last fight, and I squeeze in there every night to try and chase down some sleep.
So, hiding was no good. He could always walk out and pretend he'd gone looking for the Sword Sage's disciple on his own. He was wearing Heaven's Glory clothes, so they might believe him. But if anything went wrong, Yeren would have to face 7 sacred artists on her own.
All right, he said. Consider this. You hide in the cave, I'll go up there and talk to them, and I'll see if I can lead them in the wrong direction. Where are they now?
Yeren slowly stood, but she didn't head for the cave. Her eyes were on the sky, and her hand on her sword.
First thing my master taught me about the sacred arts? When the time's right, you shed blood. There's no getting around it.
Her words were so cool and matter-of-fact that they sent a chill through Linden's bones.
The time isn't right,
Linden said desperately. He pulled a pile of purple banners out of his pack, rushing around the edges of the chasm to plant them in snow.
I have a boundary formation of my own. We can dig under the snow, hide there, and when they come down?
Yeren took one unsteady step toward the wall, her weakness apparent. The wind snatched at the dangling shreds of her robes, and even that much force seemed likely to knock her to the ground. Linden didn't see how she could even remain standing, much less fight off 7 attackers. He almost said so. Then she leaped out of the chasm. It looked effortless, as though she had simply begun a step at the bottom of a 20-foot rock wall and finished the step at the top. He saw her from behind, her hair and her tattered robes blowing in the wind. Her red rope belt stayed utterly motionless, which attracted his attention until she drew her sword. Hurriedly, he finished planting the 7 banners and hiding them in snow. If she'd brought her weapon out, that meant... A high, young voice rose above the wind, sending Linden's spirits even lower. He knew that voice.
Your master would be proud of your courage, I can acknowledge that,
Elder Whitehall said.
And your skill is outstanding for someone of your age, truly outstanding. You sure you want to talk about age?
Yeren retorted. He could see her from below, and now he understood why she cut her hair so straight. No matter how the wind whipped or pulled it, not a strand covered her eyes.
The Heaven's Glory school is lower than I suspected. Even dogs don't send their pups to fight.
Whitehall's voice turned cold.
I'm not trading insults with a disciple. I'm not doing it. I've already lowered myself to come here personally, and even a blind man could see your path ends here. You can hardly stand. You clearly haven't had a whole night's sleep in weeks, and your robes are ruined. You must be freezing. But I'm here because I respect talent. I really do. And so does Heaven's Glory.
They need her, Linden realized, and a range of new options opened before him. He had assumed they were only trying to eliminate Yeren, which left her with only 2 choices, run or fight. But they wanted her, which meant she had something to trade. She had leverage. A head popped over the chasm as someone glanced down. Just an idle glance, but it was enough to doom Linden. Kazan Madaret looked down on him with a face first confused and then drenched in self-satisfaction.
The unsold is with her, he called back to Whitehall.
Linden rubbed his aching jaw. Maybe meeting a messenger from the heavens had used up all the good luck in his life, because since his visit from Suriel, his fortunes seemed to have gone sour.
We see Linden?
Whitehall said blankly.
What? Why? How did he get here?
He's with the sage's disciple,
Durrett responded, without taking his eyes from Linden.
This one humbly requests permission to treat him as an enemy.
Permission? I don't care what happens to 1 or 2 unsold. If there were 100 of him, I still wouldn't care. Kill him, leave him there, carry him back on your shoulders. Just don't bother me while I'm working.
Yeren tilted her scarred face toward him, though she kept staring off at what must be Whitehall.
Can you bury him alone?
She asked, which sunk his heart into his stomach even further. He could have pretended he wasn't with her, or that she had kidnapped him. Now he had only one option. Lyndon smiled up at Durrett.
I don't need any help putting down a dog.
Red-brown bricks, forged out of solid madra, condensed in the air behind the Kazan disciple. They fanned out like a bird's tail as he hopped down into the chasm, landing lightly on his feet.
Start begging now, Durrett said, while you can.
Lyndon let out a breath of deep relief and moved his hand down to the wooden ward key in his belt. It had been even easier than he'd hoped. The strings of a zither filled the air with haunting music, and a transparent avalanche fell from the cliff above. It was clearly fake to Lyndon's eyes, like a portrait overlaid on reality, but Durrett screamed and covered his face with his arm.
You forgot already?
Lyndon said, and Durrett turned toward the sound of his voice. The white fox boundary distorted his senses, and the iron hurled a forged brick straight at the wall.
It's only been one day, and I win again with the same trick. Don't they say that even a dog remembers a beating?
Durrett roared, flinging another brick at the wall, once again missing Lyndon wildly. Above, the sky turned gold for an instant as a beam of destructive white-gold light flashed into existence. Elder Whitehall shouted to his disciples, and someone screamed. Seconds later, a thin line of blood trickled down into the chasm. The white-gold light blasted past again, and this time Lyndon felt the wave of heat on his face. Another man's bloody shriek told him that Yeren was holding her own. A nearby thunderclap drew his attention back to Kazan Madaret. The image inside the boundary wasn't entirely clear to Lyndon, and he certainly wasn't going to drop the ward key for a more detailed look, but it seemed as though the iron was contending with an army of razor-clawed crabs. He screamed and scratched at his face as though the illusions were drawing blood. But he wasn't using his bricks against the crabs. He may have fallen for the same trick a second time, but it wasn't as though he'd forgotten. He knew it was a dream, and he only flung forged madra in the hopes of hitting Lyndon or destroying the formation.
What do I do with him? Lyndon wondered.
Setting up the White Fox boundary had been a last-minute act of desperation, and Lyndon hadn't had time to come up with a real plan. Now that he was face-to-face with an enraged iron, he realized that he didn't know what to do. Last time, he'd only needed to defeat Durrett in front of Elder Rahm. Immobilizing him in the boundary was just as good as beating him senseless. Now, Lyndon couldn't leave him here. The formation was fueled by vital aura, but even that would run out eventually. Before that, Durrett had good odds of hitting one of the seven banners with his randomly thrown bricks. Besides leaving him, what else was there?
When the time's right, he shed blood.
Like lightning striking inches away, a forged brick smashed into the rock wall beside his head with all the force an iron could muster. Chips stung Lyndon's face, and he flinched away so wildly that he fell to the ground. His ear rang like a struck gong. Any closer, and he would have died, for a second time. Durrett still roared in the illusion, with no idea how close he'd come to victory. But that brick caused the reality of Lyndon's situation to come crashing down. He had almost died. His story had come within an inch of ending here. The heavens had already intervened once. A celestial messenger had reversed death and caused even time to flow backwards, and none of that would have mattered. For reasons he didn't understand, he reached into his pocket for Cyril's glass marble. It was warm to the touch, and he rolled it in his fingers as he thought. One thing was perfectly clear. With Durrett sharing this chasm with him, Lyndon was in mortal danger, and he couldn't trust heaven to save him a second time. His gaze was drawn to a spear, abandoned from Yeren's last fight, half buried in the snow. He kept low to avoid any potential flying bricks, crawling over to the weapon and cradling it in both hands.
You shed blood.
Before he had a chance to inspect the spear, he ran out of time. A brick struck the banner, and the field instantly blew away like mist on the wind. To Lyndon, it really was like watching a cloud drift through the air, but Durrett actually staggered as he was jerked from one reality to another. The banner itself wasn't broken, but it had been knocked out of alignment with the rest of the formation. The boundary was gone. In less than a breath, Durrett would regain his bearings and turn around, ready to kill. Lyndon gathered himself. No matter how he reasoned, there was only one thing to do here. He gripped cold, slick wood in shaking hands. Then he stabbed Durrett. There was less to it than he'd expected. The first stab was basically like sinking a blade into the earth. He jammed it into Durrett's back, then quickly withdrew. The Kazan didn't react until Lyndon pulled the spear out, and then he jerked forward as though something had stung him. He didn't look wounded at all. Lyndon panicked. Durrett would turn and hurl a brick through Lyndon's head at any second, and that would be the end. So he followed the other man forward, stabbing him again and again, expecting any second to end with a missile of forged madre through the skull. With no art, with no skill, Lyndon stabbed Kazan Maderet until a bleeding body fell onto the snow-covered ground. He fell with it, swallowing air as though he couldn't get enough, still clutching the spear. And a remnant rose before him, and he choked back bitter tears. Made of mountain's heart power, this remnant was like the outline of an ogre painted in dirt. It stumbled around for a while, flailing at the air with heavy hands, but it was weak and barely coherent. Lyndon held his eyes open until they watered, afraid to blink, but the remnant never gave any indication that it saw him. It pressed into the wall and oozed away, squeezing into tiny cracks like soft mud. Lyndon dropped his weapon as the spirit vanished, panting, his stomach churning. He thought he might be sick. He'd always accepted the fact that he would kill someone someday. Combat was a part of the sacred arts, and the clans were encouraged to kill one another within reason. He knew his parents had killed people in their younger days, though they rarely talked about it. But there was supposed to be more to it. He'd imagined standing in triumph over a blood enemy, veins pumping with a thrill of battle, proving his superiority in a final showdown, not huddling in the cold, stabbing a blinded man. Durrett had given him no choice, and besides the way elders would have given him a reward for killing a Kazan iron, no one would blame him. If he had hesitated, even for another second, he would have certainly died. Even so, he kept his eyes off the body. Despite what he'd been told as a child, there was nothing to celebrate here. Another flash of gold light, this time sweeping in a horizontal arc, and Elder Whitehall shouted,
"Stop her! Hold her down!"
A black and red blur flashed over the chasm as Yeren leaped past. Lyndon snapped himself back to reality, rushing to collect his formation banners. He didn't look forward to killing anyone else, but leaving an ally to fight alone was the act of a coward. He had to at least try something, even if he was too weak to contribute much. Once he'd gathered up all the banners, he slipped them inside his outer robe and steadied his grip on the jagged stone wall. His vision was swimming. The day of cycling, the night without sleep, the strain on his madra, and the burden of his emotions were all getting to be too much for him.
"One more stretch," he said, focusing on the climb in front of him.
He forced himself to forget the march out of Sacred Valley.
"Just this one last thing, and then I can sleep."
Inch by inch, he hauled himself up. At the top, the patchy snow had been sprayed pink. Heaven's Glory disciples lay here and there, mostly wounded, a few probably dead. One held pressure on a deep gash in his arm, his face pale. He stared straight at Lyndon, but seemed to see nothing, only rocking back and forth. Elder Whitehall landed in a crouch at the bottom of a tree, snow flying away from him in a ring. He whipped a line of golden light forward, and the beam slashed through a tree in front of him, dividing it into two charred and smoking halves. It creaked as it toppled, sending splinters spraying into the air. The attack left deep, blackened gouges in the other trees nearby, but none of them collapsed. Yeren slipped out from behind one of those trunks, her sword flashing. A thin wave of distortion blew outward from her weapon, like the edge of a gleaming sickle. Elder Whitehall ducked, and the sword madra sliced deep into a boulder behind him. He gathered light to a point in his hand, but she had already disappeared. Lyndon prepared to jump back into the chasm. He'd only ever had personal experience with one path, and while the elders of his clan could do some astonishing things with illusions, they'd never displayed anything like this. This was a true battle between jades, and he would be safer if he hid until it was over. Then again, Suriel had suggested that by leaving the valley, he could gain power even beyond gold. The very idea beggared his imagination, but that only meant his imagination was too limited. He hadn't seen enough, hadn't experienced enough. If he wanted to travel his own path to its end, he had to do so with eyes wide open. At that moment, Elder Whitehall spotted him. The elder snarled, whipping a scorching stream of light Lyndon's way. Lyndon released the stone, letting himself fall, hoping it would be fast enough, and as he did, he glimpsed a slender figure in black robes leaping up behind the childlike elder, sword bared. He landed heavily on his back, wind knocked from his lungs. Even as he gasped for breath, he was grateful for the snow and his pack cushioning his fall, but he hoped he hadn't broken anything, especially his ribs. Even the thorn grass pill had started acting up, tingling in the most unpleasant way around his injuries. When he finally caught his breath again, the world outside the chasm was silent. Samara's ring had all but vanished, and the sun had slipped a peak over the mountain. Only the wind continued, an unending and invisible stream. With agonizing care, Lyndon prodded his flagging body into yet another climb. Yeren stood at the top of the chasm, loose hair flying in her face, panting heavily and leaning on her sheathed sword as a walking stick. Lyndon glanced hurriedly around for Elder Whitehall.
Where did he go?
She evened her breathing before responding.
Deeper in, other side of the mountain. He's bleeding like a butchered hog, but he'll be coming back.
Lyndon hauled himself out of the chasm, hoping he didn't look as bad as she did, but knowing that he was probably worse.
You really drove off an elder and 6 iron disciples? By yourself?
She shot a sidelong glance at him.
5, I did.
Durrett was still lying in the bottom of the chasm, body littering the ground far from his home. Lyndon cleared his throat.
You're incredible. Your master must have been an expert without peer.
He was,
Yeren said, her voice distant. She stared into the dawn in silence. But Lyndon was in no mood to wait around. He slipped the extra disciple robes out of his pack, holding them out to her. He was glad he'd brought them. There were plenty of other sets nearby, but the bloodstains would make them somewhat obvious.
You should put these on, he said. If the heavens are kind, there won't be any other disciples in the woods, but let's assume there are. Unless they've seen your face before, they won't recognize you in these. I don't have a badge for you, but...
He looked around at the bleeding disciples. Only one of them was dead, he realized, though the others weren't far away. The dead boy's remnant peeled itself away from his corpse, like a yellow sketch of a skeleton. It glanced back in Lyndon's direction only once before scampering off into the woods.
I'm sure you can find one, he finished.
Without a word of protest, Yeren took the clothes and wrapped them around her tattered black robes. His clothes were large enough that she still had room to spare. Once again, his attention was drawn to the thick red coil wrapped around her waist. She didn't untie it, but it still ended up outside the clothes of the Heaven's Glory disciple, as though the belt had melted through her clothes. She slipped an iron striker badge over her neck and gestured to herself.
Anything missing?
Her clothes were too big, she was carrying a sword, and she looked like she'd been living in the woods for 2 weeks. But from a distance, she'd pass.
As long as we don't run into Elder Whitehall on the way out, you'll make it.
He was more worried about the Elder than anything else, as Whitehall had fled in the opposite direction of the valley. If their luck was bad, they might run into him on the road out. He reached into his big brown pack, checking that he had everything important. His boundary flags, Cyril's warm marble, a few other bits and pieces. He wasn't bringing much, but nothing else would help him on his journey beyond the valley. He was ready. It was time to go. Lyndon's heart actually lifted at the thought. He was absolutely exhausted, every resource in his body and spirit expended, but he'd made it. He'd won. On the other side of this snow-capped mountain waited a dangerous and infinite world. Yeren took a deep breath and straightened.
All right, she said. Lead the way.
Lyndon had already turned to face the range of mountains past Samara, but he stopped, turned back.
I know it's this way, but beyond that, you'll have to lead us out.
Out? I've still got a bone to grind with the Heaven's Glory School.
She gave him a grim smile.
They took my master's body, and his sword, and his remnant. If I was soft enough to leave him here, I'd have walked away from this viper's nest weeks ago. Now I've got a few chores left here, and the chief one is you leading me back.
It was like a bag had tightened over Lyndon's head. Compared to the freedom he'd tasted just a second before, he felt like choking, like the prison door had been slowly creaking open, only to slam shut. He couldn't accept it.
No, no, you swore!
He didn't know how punishing the oath would be to him, but for someone of Yeren's power, it would weigh heavily. She might even cripple her future potential by breaking a vow like this. Yeren raised one finger.
I said I'd shepherd you on the path out, and I will, once we're free and clear. But I'm not popping the lid off this barrel yet.
While he searched for words, she patted him on the shoulder.
If it eases you any, I'm starting to trust you, she said. A little.
Nervously, Lyndon had thrown together an appropriate story to explain why he was hobbling into the school in the early morning with a battered sister disciple, but no one asked for an explanation. One man cursed at the unsold for getting in his way, a few passers-by expressed sympathy, and a girl reassured them kindly that the sword disciple would see heaven's punishment come soon. No one questioned them further than that. These days, coming home wounded was more common than not. When Lyndon reached his room, he knew he couldn't stay long, but he was overwhelmed with the desire to simply collapse on the floor.
When Elder Whitehall comes back, this is the first place he'll check, Lyndon said.
His jaw had begun to ache again, and every word sent itchy needles dancing inside his face.
We should be gone before that happens, if that's agreeable to you. I have an idea where...
He trailed off as Yeren stumbled past him, clumsily tugging off one shoe as she made her way toward his bed.
We're not drawing swords in this state, she said. We'll die. Need rest.
Halfway through taking off the second shoe, she slumped face first onto the bed. In seconds, she was snoring. At first, Lyndon wondered how she could possibly sleep with the threat of death hanging over them, and she had taken his bed. He slipped off his pack, leaving it next to the door, and reached for her shoe. He had intended to pull it off and put it next to the other, but that was the last thing he remembered. When he came to, Samara's ring was in the sky again, and his neck ached from a night spent in an impossible position. He had collapsed on his side, his head jammed up against the side of his bed, Yaren's fingers dangling in his face. For a few seconds, he tried to remember how they had gotten here. He recognized Yeren from Cyril's vision, but the events of the previous day were a blurry haze in his mind. When the fog cleared and he recalled where he was, fear shot him bolt upright. He had aided an enemy of the Heaven's Glory School. He'd fought an elder, killed an iron disciple. Even the patriarch of the Wei clan would have to pay with his life for such an offense, and here Lyndon was sleeping in his room as though nothing had happened. He needed to move. He'd staggered to his feet before he stopped again. Move where? He couldn't leave the valley without Yeren, and he couldn't go home. His clan would turn him over to Heaven's Glory for a bent half-silver chip. He calmed himself, gathering his thoughts, taking a long look at his situation. Given that Heaven's Glory would hunt him as soon as Whitehall returned, then Lyndon had to treat this place like enemy territory. He and Yeren had stayed here too long already. But she had her own conditions, and may she rot in the netherworld for them. She wouldn't leave the valley until she got what she wanted, and he couldn't leave without her. He needed her guidance to escape Sacred Valley, and her strength to survive whatever waited outside. Even a Heaven's Glory elder had been crippled with only a few hours outside of the school's territory, so an unsold would be lucky to last 10 seconds. He needed her. She lay on his bed, her stolen white robes bulky, the blood-red rope tied at her waist looking tight and uncomfortable. She was defenseless, scars all over her skin, some of them fresh. Though it burned him, he put away thoughts of abandoning her or tricking her into guiding him out. She cared enough about her master's legacy to stay on the mountain with an entire school hunting her. Nothing he could say would change her mind. He wasn't happy about it, but he could respect resolve like that. Lyndon slid the door open a crack, peeking out. Samara's ring lit empty gardens and iced rainstone buildings. No one watched his door, at least as far as he could tell. Whitehall must not have made it back yet, or else he hadn't spread the word about Lyndon. So, Lyndon still had time to use his identity as a Heaven's Glory disciple. At the least, he should be able to find out where the Sword Sage's body was. He reached for his pack.
Where are you going? Yaren asked.
Her voice was vague and bleary, as though she hadn't bothered to wake up before speaking. Lyndon glanced back. She was adjusting her sword belt, moving the hilt around from where it had been poking her in the ribs.
Give me 2 seconds, and I'll find out where they're keeping your master. Until Whitehall comes back, I'm still a disciple.
He looked like he'd just returned from a fight on behalf of the school. His white disciple's clothes were stained with blood and dirt. He was scraped and bruised from his head down to the soles of his feet, and his spirit had only just started to recover. The elder should believe any story he spun, if they swallowed the idea that someone at the foundation level had been allowed to fight the sword disciple. She squinted at him, rubbing the side of her head with one hand.
Don't bother yourself. I know where he is.
Lyndon froze in his doorway, his frustration returning.
Then why are we here? Let's pick up your master and leave.
Need to harvest his remnant, she said, stretching. I was aiming to steal the gear from the school, but they kept me too busy. This is 2 steps closer than I ever got before.
Lyndon stared at her.
Harvest his remnant? Are you a gold?
Everyone knew the final step into gold was harvesting a remnant and binding it to your physical body, which made you more than mortal. That was why gold was the pinnacle, a qualitative leap beyond jade. Of course, according to Cyril, gold was just the beginning.
Not yet,
Yaren answered him.
Taking in the remnant is the difference between what you all call jade and what you call gold. It's like an heirloom, passed from master to disciple.
A brief, stricken look passed across Yeren's face, and Linden reminded himself that she had just lost her master. For some, that could be a bond even closer than blood. Linden stepped back and let the door close, and she straightened in apparent surprise.
Thought you were leaving.
If we know where we're going, there's no need. Now, how about a plan? I'm guessing the gear you need is a spirit seal?
Yeren's eyes moved between him and the door.
Well, that's pleasing. I thought you'd make an excuse to leave. Go warn the elders.
Linden wrestled down his irritation. She had forced him into helping, and now she still doubted him?
We're both traitors. They won't treat me any better than you.
Crack the door, but don't walk out. Just peek.
If Linden had to play more of her games, he might try to strike out on his own after all.
Why?
She didn't answer, waiting for him to open the door. With a sigh, he did. The night still rained.
No one's there, he said.
Drop a knee,
she responded. Feeling like a fool, Linden knelt in his own doorway. Then he saw what had been invisible to him head-on. A flat shimmer in the air, floating at eye height, like a sword hammered out of pure force. His throat caught. Earlier, if he had taken more than a single step out, it would have sheared through his skull. He managed to fake some level of calm as he asked,
Are you a forger, then?
Born a ruler, but I did forge that.
That wasn't too interesting of a statement in itself. The first elder of the Wei clan was rumored to know both the forger technique and the ruler technique of the White Fox Path, though of course he was more gifted in one than the other.
When?
Linden asked, still staring at the blade that had almost killed him.
Right before I shut my eyes. We did swear an oath, but we also only met tonight. Didn't trust you then.
She'd forged that hours ago, and it had remained steady and solid. Having grown up around his mother, he knew how much skill that took. If she only dabbled in forging, she would never have been able to do it. He couldn't stop imagining an invisible blade passing through his eyes, slicing his brain into two pieces, but he forced himself past it.
Does that mean I can trust you not to lay any more lethal traps for me?
She considered a moment, then nodded.
Not lethal ones.
I'm pleased to hear that.
He'd take whatever he could get.
Now, we need a spirit seal?
Yeren loosened her shoulders, swinging her feet around to the other side of the bed. She braced her sword in one hand, and she looked more like the formidable sacred artist she was.
You know where they're kept?
The Lesser Treasure Hall. A jade forger lives over the hall, and there are script-activated security constructs hidden in the floors.
Her eyes gleamed, and she leaned in closer.
That's more than nothing, but less than something. Now, this treasure hall, they keep more than just seals, true?
Suddenly, it occurred to Linden that something good might actually come of staying in Sacred Valley.
You wouldn't believe everything they've got in there.
That's pleasing to hear. Now, what did the Wei clan teach you about stealing from your enemies?
I'll bring my pack.